You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with the biggest trade request in NBA history. Why does KD want out of Brooklyn? Where could he end up? Plus, is it all Kyrie's fault? Where will he go? Could he end up reunited with LeBron in LA? And a stunner in college football. USC and UCLA are headed to the Big Ten. The ramifications are enormous. Good morning, everybody. Hannah Storm in for Greeny. Just a bunch of normal people on a normal holiday Friday, right? Talking about normal things. Not at all. KD is available here to talk about it at Seaport. All the voices you want to hear. We got Wendy here, Tim Bontemps, Nick Friedell, Mr. Nets still on the scene.
For now.
Yeah, we don't know where he'll be next year. A future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, is with us, and the man whose tweet at 2:49 Eastern yesterday set off an absolute frenzy. The one and only Woj is here, and let's begin with that Woj bomb, a decision that could transform the NBA for years to come. Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. Nets general manager Sean Marks is working with Durant and his representative Rich Kleiman on finding a trade partner. And if this is the end of KD and Kyrie, it is quite fair to say it didn't go according to plan, including the playoffs. The two played a total of 58 games together across three seasons out of 247 scheduled games. And most importantly, of course, they won just a single playoff series together. As Adrian Wojnarowski joins us, and Woj, this certainly could be a transformational trade for any team. So what is the latest on the trade talks as of this morning?
Well, Hannah, obviously start with Kevin Durant and just the volume and ferocity might be the word of calls landing in Brooklyn yesterday once the news was reported significant. I had teams tell me that they called Brooklyn more than once and upped their offers without even a counter. That's pretty unusual, but I think certainly teams understand how rare this is to have a player of Kevin Durant's stature on the trade market. And listen, I think there's no shortage of big markets, small markets. There are teams who normally wouldn't be able to even consider being able to get Kevin Durant in free agency who now have an ability to trade for him with 4 years left on his contract. So, listen, I think there's a lot of different kinds of deals for the Nets to evaluate. You're going to have, everyone's going to give you three, four picks moving forward, certainly young players, but there are also teams, veteran all-star players, young all-star players. So this is such a unique situation. I think it's going to take a few days at least to flesh out as teams, jockey to try to see not just in one-on-one talks with Brooklyn, but in multi-team deals where a team may not have the particular player that fits for Brooklyn, but they could go get it in a three or four team trade. This just opens up, I think, the imagination of front offices is really being tested here because I think there are so many teams who are interested in trying to acquire Kevin Durant. How do you separate your team and your package from all the others?
18 months ago, Woj, the big three were together. So Kyrie, KD, Harden, they were title favorites. What happened?
That's a long answer, Hannah. And obviously, I think what happened here in the last few months, the combination of the acrimonious talks with Kyrie Irving and the Nets about his future, their unwillingness to commit long-term to him, his inability to find a long-term deal and a sign and trade in the marketplace, and the Warriors winning a championship, it played a factor in this. I think it exasperated Kevin Durant's frustration. I think that's the narrative that surrounded him that he dealt with in the aftermath of him leaving Golden State and then going on to win a title without him, contrasted with what has gone on in Brooklyn in these last 3 years and how, you know, James Harden comes, James Harden goes. I mean, remember, James Harden was traded. They traded for him because I thought he was a kind of the, you know, he gave them an ability to be able to keep Kevin Durant long term because they didn't know that they could count on Kyrie Irving. And he came and left in the interim. And in the end, I think for Kevin Durant, you know, essentially, I'm told, I think what he described to ownership yesterday when he asked for the trade was that he needed a change of scenery. And so he's headed for that. I think certainly Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving have both very likely, almost assuredly, played their last games in Brooklyn.
Yeah, ironically, that four-year extension actually kicks in today for Kevin Durant. Woj, thank you so much
Thanks,
for
Hannah.
All your great reporting. We'll talk to you in a bit. Meanwhile, so much insight here in the studio. Oh, we've got Tim and Nick and Wendy and Vince Carter joining us on Get Up. And Wendy, I told you so. You can very, very assuredly say that to the rest of us because you were saying if the Nets didn't lock up Kyrie long term, that they ran a real risk of losing KD. So you heard Woj also bring the Warriors into this mix and their success. How do you see it?
They lost the billionaire, and that's Joe Tsai, the owner. He lost his belief that this could work. And he attempted, through Sean Marks, his general manager, to renegotiate not just the contract of Kyrie Irving, but the sort of contract of the way they were going to interact with each other. And I think the last straw to me was when Kyrie said, see you in the fall. Because that was sort of a declaration of, all right, well, I'm going to give you one more year, you're going to get one more year. And I think they were just like, we are not willing to do this anymore. And I think Durant saw the writing on the wall too, and they realized that there was no way this could stay together. And they, you know, they could have capitulated, Hannah. They could have just renegotiated and given Kyrie what they wanted, but that's what they've done for the last 3 years. And I think Joe Tsai, with Sean Marks' support, put their foot down. They knew it could come to this. And I actually think, based on what I'm feeling, there's an immense sense of relief across that river in Brooklyn. Even though they are breaking apart potentially what we thought would be a title team, I think, and this is happy, there's going to be a sense of euphoria, at least short term, that that's is gone.
Okay, that would be the opposite end of the spectrum from what we heard of you. You said that you have never seen a team this miserable.
Oh, Hannah. They were so.
I mean, you were with them. You were with them every day.
It was
right. What was the scenario?
So bad at the end. Let me take you back to the locker room in Chicago, middle of January. They just beat the Bulls, who were tops in the East. James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. They're beaming. They're looking at each other like, "Yep, this is it. This is what we signed up for." Harden sits at the podium and goes, "I'm going to give Kyrie that shot myself." Less than a month later, Harden's gone. And a few days after this game in Chicago, and this is key, Kevin got hurt. He injured his knee. That changed the dynamic moving forward into the trade deadline. But Hannah, Harden realized that Kyrie wasn't going to change his stance. He was not going to get that shot no matter what happened. He's not committing to the Nets. He's gone. And I cannot stress to you enough just how much Kyrie's choice not to get that shot changed everything for this team all year and was the albatross that hung over that locker room day in, day out, and from top to bottom. Ownership, coaches, GM, everybody was looking every day going, what is he going to say next? And we just cannot count on this guy.
To Brian's point before, the Nets for 3 years did everything Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant wanted, and that includes the one time they didn't, back in October, when they said, you either got to be all in or all out, right? You either got to get the shot and be with us for every game, or you're not going to play with us at all. Then that was the beginning of the acrimony with Kyrie Irving. Then 2 months later, when Kevin Durant wanted Kyrie back around, all of a sudden, Kyrie's back. And then that's the beginning, as you said, of James Harden's departure, right? Those two moments, to me, sum up everything that gets us to this point where we are right now.
I want to go back to something Woj mentioned, the Warriors, and looking at the Warriors, not just that Kevin Durant was trying to get out of the Warriors' shadow and come to Brooklyn and win a championship, but what happened with the Warriors and Andrew Wiggins?
Well, I think, Nick was with the Warriors.
In contrast to what Kyrie did,
Nick
right?
was with the Warriors at the beginning of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And when Wiggins got the shot, it changed their team chemistry in a positive way. Kyrie didn't get the shot. And I know that fans may be screaming right now, but there's not a mandate next year. That's not going to be an issue. The shot was just the biggest indicator of what was underlying there, which was a lack of trust and a lack of working together. And when Kyrie goes through this whole season where he kneecapped this team with the vaccine and with other ways he was behaving, and he sits there in the moment after getting swept, and he says, well, yeah, Kevin and I are going to manage this team. I mean, imagine if you are the owner of the team, Hannah,
right,
who's spending all that money, and you hear the guy who's destroyed your season say that. How can you say, see you in the fall?
You wonder why the Nets would want to reset the power balance, right? And that's what led to, as Brian said, this discussion over the past week about what's going to happen with Kyrie's contract.
But should they have given them that much power in the first place?
Well, that is the billion-dollar question.
Yeah, because when you're looking at blame here, right, and when you're looking at the very epicenter of where this whole thing started, you know, should that have been I know that's the way in the modern NBA.
To your point, we're talking a lot about Kyrie Irving. This is a organizational failure. It's a failure for Kevin Durant, it's a failure for Kyrie Irving, and it's a failure for the Nets. And to your point, it's because from the moment Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant came to Brooklyn, it was their team. It wasn't the Nets. It was what are Kyrie and Kevin going to do, right? And
right, it's a coaching decision, right? Steve Nash is the coach.
That's right. That all of it came back to empowering those guys to a level we've maybe never seen in the NBA before. And that's why it isn't just a Kyrie Irving failure. Because, look, if you are Kyrie Irving, why wouldn't you think you're running the team based off the way the last 3 years have gone, based off the way this season has gone? So, yes, it's everyone's fault.
And
it's not
Hannah,
just one person.
That's exactly why there's very little empathy across the league for the Nets right now. Because when you make your bed and give all that power to superstars and say, hey, this is your team, and you get into that kind of deal with Kyrie Irving, you get what you deserve. And to the point about Andrew Wiggins and the Warriors, this is crucial. He didn't want to get that shot. And he knew that in order to keep his money, to stay in the league, and to be the team player the Warriors needed, it was imperative for him to do so. And he made that choice for the group. That group got even closer in Golden State. They came together. He had the best year of his career. They just won the title.
And he was a huge part of it in the finals, too.
And he was gigantic. He has forever changed the narrative about his career. And Kyrie, by making the choice he did, derailed the Nets season and only heightened the perception around him all across the league.
And doesn't that put a button also on the fact that it is organizational, that he felt as a member of that team culture and the Warriors is so strong that it just wasn't there for the Nets, that Kyrie was essentially allowed to do whatever
he wanted. Ultimately Durant looked at the lay of the land here and said it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And this wasn't an easy decision for him to come to. And over the last few days, the league was preparing for themselves, but they didn't know if Kevin would actually cross that Rubicon.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Here we go. Our show is just starting. So much left to talk about. Where could KD go? It's complicated. Like you heard Woj say, our front office expert is going to lay out the most realistic destinations for Kevin Durant, a game changer. Another huge story, college football stunner, UCLA and USC headed to the Big Ten. Are we headed towards two super conferences in college football?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. This is seismic.
Kyrie Irving ruined the franchise. Kevin Durant has had enough.
Wherever he ends up, a lot of people are going to make that team the favorite to win it all.
It is an opportunity for Kevin Durant to sort of reclaim the story of his career.
Much more on KD in a moment, but the other huge news came from college football. USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 to join the Big Ten starting in 2024. The vote was unanimous when Big Ten presidents and chancellors met last night. And if you're thinking that sounds like a lot of travel from SoCal to the rest of the schools in the Big Ten, you get an A in geography, because take a look at this map tweeted out by our own Field Yates. You can envision the long trips that these student athletes will be taking, well, from one coast to the other, longer than it takes to get from New York to Iceland, if that puts it in perspective. Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum join us now for more on this seismic shift. So, Heather, first, give us details on what happened and what it means for college football.
Hannah, these two schools reached out to the Big Ten, and it's about following the money. The reality is that the Big Ten and the SEC are separating themselves as the wealthiest and largest conferences in all of collegiate athletics. And every athletic director and university president is paying attention to this. The Big Ten is reportedly on the brink of a $100 million per school per year TV deal, and everyone is watching that. And so UCLA and USC wanted to best position not just their football teams but their Olympic programs as well for financial stability in the future. UCLA athletic director Martin Jarman texted me last night and said, we cannot afford to stand still.
Not with those kind of dollars. Paul, what was your reaction when you heard this on the heels of what we've seen with SEC?
Yeah, Hannah, I'm just gratified that the leaders of college athletics care so much about the student athletes and their mental well-being, that they're going to put softball players on a plane in California to go to Piscataway for a weekend series with Rutgers. But that's where we are, and trying to take my cynical hat off, which is impossible today in college athletics, what we have is just a battle of the two behemoths, and that's the SEC and the Big Ten. This is similar to what's going on Wall Street between the biggest companies vying for your dollar. And that's what this is about. This is about money, pure and simple. Hannah, don't let any college commissioner or president tell you otherwise. They're a greedy bunch. That's what they care about. And the students who happen to play athletics are the pawn in this big prize.
It's hard to imagine that level of travel and how that squares with student life. It really is mind-boggling. And could we be headed to two super conferences? That's certainly the way it looks. And listen to what Kirk Herbstreit had to say on SportsCenter. Then I want to get your reaction.
I think that's where this thing, when the dust settles, that's where we're going to be. With about 50 to 55 teams, half of them in the Big Ten, half of them in the SEC. For simplifying it, think AFC, NFC, and the NFL. You're going to have that for Saturdays. You're going to have three divisions, West, Middle, and East, or South, and that's what it's going to be.
Paul, do you see it going this way?
I don't think it goes that big, Hannah, because I don't think that many schools can be sustainable in college athletics. Right now, it's really about 5 to 8 schools anyway, so not much is going to change. What's going to change, though, is that the Power Five is no more. We are you know, the three conferences that are not part of this are going to get left behind. But there's one important element here that could tip the balance, Hannah, and that's the one school that everybody wants, the big whale that the conferences have been going after for as long as you were in school at Notre Dame and I've been watching college football, and that's the University of Notre Dame. Right now, for those who don't follow this like we do, they have an affiliation with the ACC. They're in the ACC in every sport but hockey and in football. In football, they play five conference games. The ACC is desperate now to convince Notre Dame once and for all to join the league. If they fail, the ACC will almost cease to exist. And then does Notre Dame stay independent, or does Notre Dame go to either the Big Ten or the SEC? I think everything is currently in play right now.
Right. And Heather, walk me through this. And as we know, Notre Dame also has its own television contract with NBC. So walk me through the scenario. Jack Swerbrick and those before him have been holding out, not affiliated with a conference on the football level. So what are the possibilities here?
So as long as Notre Dame's other sports that Paul mentioned continue to remain in the ACC, Notre Dame, if it ever wanted to join a conference, would be contractually obligated to join the ACC. But if Notre Dame were to withdraw from the ACC, its football team could play wherever it wants to. It would have to pay an exit fee. It would have to pay a media rights fee because they sold their TV rights to the ACC. I would be surprised if they were that concerned about paying the TV rights fee for their Olympic sports. But Jack Swerbrick told me this summer that there are three reasons why they would consider relinquishing their independence. One is the loss of a committed broadcast partner. One is the loss of a fair route to the postseason. And the third is such an adverse financial consequence that they would have to reconsider. The question is everybody else getting richer? Does that make them reconsider? You can bet they're paying attention to the Big Ten TV deal like everybody else.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about $100 million annually per team, those numbers are mind-boggling. You know, you think about the Rose Bowl, just so many, many questions coming up. Yes, I see your reaction there, Paul. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you again next hour about this absolutely huge story. Thank you. All right. Also, we have a developing story from Russia where Brittany Griner is in court right now on trial facing drug smuggling allegations. And we have some pictures for you this morning. This is a handcuffed Brittany Griner arriving at the courthouse today. She was arrested, as you know, in February at a Moscow airport after she was caught carrying vape canisters allegedly containing cannabis oil. If convicted, the Mercury Center could face up to 10 years in prison. And fewer than 1% of defendants in Russian criminal cases are actually acquitted. And unlike in the United States, even those acquittals can be overturned. Some experts have said that Griner's trial is a negotiating tactic to push the Biden administration into trading for her freedom. Coming up, Kevin Durant's trade demand. Where should he go? Our front office insider will tell you the most realistic landing spots for KD. And what about Kyrie? Is it all his fault? And could he be headed to LA for reunion with LeBron James? We're talking about it next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up. Let's play some trading places, shall we, for Kevin Durant. Wendy, what's the best team for KD?
Well, he wants to be with the Phoenix Suns because he looks at his Olympic teammate in Devin Booker. He looks at a veteran point guard in Chris Paul. He sees a respected coach in Monty Williams. He sees a team that is ready to compete for a championship, plug and play. That is his preferred destination, but it ain't going to be easy.
Why not? Could get a ring there. All right, Tim Bontemps, what do you think is the best destination for Durant?
Well, while I agree with Brian that Kevin Durant wants to go to the Phoenix Suns, I think it's probably the most likely destination. To me, the one that has the best potential return for the Nets that could work for them is the Toronto Raptors. You have Scottie Barnes, the Rookie of the Year, a terrific young talent. The Raptors also have a ton of picks, and they have a bunch of other good players under contract that they could send to the Nets in a deal. So I think in terms of the best possible landing spot that the Nets might do what they want, I think it's Toronto.
Nick Friedell, you know KD as well as anybody. What do you think?
And I think the best possible landing spot for KD, Hannah, is Miami. On top of that fact, you get to live on South Beach. We've got a lot of Olympic teammates. Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, they all have a familiarity with his game. Pat Riley is a wizard as it pertains to filling up the rest of the roster with minimum salary guys. Maybe you can move Tyler Herro. It's going to be more difficult because you can't move Bam Adebayo
right.
and Ben Simmons in that kind of deal. But from a basketball standpoint, if you put him on the Heat and Jimmy slides into that 1A role, that's the team to beat to me.
Are you sure that it's not you that wants to move to South Beach?
You know, I still have that hat. I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
All right. Now we sort of, you know, talked about all the scenarios. Let's get real. This is our man who lives in the real world, our front office insider, Bobby Marks. So, Bobby, give us those top trade destinations that you think could actually work for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I think the first team certainly is going to be is Toronto here. When you mentioned Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, they've got all their draft picks as far as to trade out. I think the next team is going to be New Orleans. It's going to be interesting. Zion Williamson is extension eligible. If he agrees to that extension, he's off the table. So what happens in New Orleans? Certainly Phoenix, a package of Mikal Bridges, a young player like Cam Johnson. They've got all their draft picks. What about the Celtics? Jaylen Brown can certainly be part of a deal. He's got 2 years left on his contract. They have all their draft picks. And the Miami Heat. But here's the problem, as we've talked about. Bam Adebayo cannot be acquired by Brooklyn because they have Ben Simmons on the roster. So I think, Hannah, Simmons is going to be the interesting part here because if you can move Simmons and another deal, I think that just opens up the playing field as far as what you can get back for Kevin Durant.
And who knows how valuable Simmons really is to the team, too, right? Now that they are not going to have, presumably, Kyrie or KD. But really quickly, because I don't want everybody's head spinning, walk us through. There's a huge list of stars that the Nets can't trade for because yeah. Simmons is on the roster. Why not, in the simplest terms possible,
sure.
explain
yeah.
this?
So Ben Simmons signed a designated rookie extension with Philadelphia. He was traded to Brooklyn. You can only have two players who sign this type of extension on your roster. However, they cannot be two players that were acquired in a trade. So when you look at Ben Simmons, you cannot pair it with a player like Bam Adebayo, certainly De'Aaron Fox, because one of those would be acquired in a trade. You move off Simmons, then you are allowed to make a trade for a player like Jason Tatum, for sake. So that's where the Simmons situation kind of puts the Nets a little bit of a bind right now.
And ironically, he's just putting out on Instagram yesterday, I'm feeling great, ready to go. And that was before the whole, you know, world exploded. Thanks so much, Bobby Marks. So back to the table with Tim and Nick and Wendy. Everything you just heard, lay out for us why this is such an unusual situation yeah. that we're in.
Because Durant has 4 years on his contract. Typically, when we see a star player demand a trade, he's either got a year or maybe slightly over a year. And so his leverage is greater. Durant doesn't have leverage. But Hannah, as you saw what Bobby said there and the complexities of this trade, as midnight arrived last night and we're talking to executives, it looks like this is probably headed for a three-team minimum deal. Because Durant, if he is focused on Phoenix, the Phoenix-Brooklyn match isn't perfect. The trade just isn't perfect. And so what may now happen over the next few days is Phoenix looking to see what they can use and maybe Brooklyn looking to see what they can use they get from Phoenix to expand this deal. And that could create a widening spreading effect that could actually freeze business for a while as a number of teams try to get in and potentially other star players. And I think one of the things that's important here is The Suns have all of their draft picks going forward, which means they can trade up to 4 first-round picks and up to 3 pick swaps. 7-year control of their draft, and I think that's going to be on the table.
Yeah, I mean, how many teams can say that in
exactly.
the NBA, period?
And so maybe right. Brooklyn,
especially among contending teams.
Maybe right. Brooklyn doesn't want that. Maybe they're interested in something else, but maybe another team does.
Right.
And so you take that and go shopping with that. Now you may be cooking. And so, you know, this last time we saw something crazy like this was when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got together to go to the Clippers. And that ended up affecting teams all around the league, and league business was frozen for 3 or 4 days leading into the July 4th holiday. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to say
we are, yes.
us, we could
oh,
be headed
boy.
For that again.
And the right, thing so that's cancel, very, cancel your barbecue is all
right.
I'm saying. But yes.
And the thing that's very instructive, I think, about the Kawhi Leonard situation, not only was there a pause for a few days, but think about how that came together, right? Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers and says, I would like to play for the Clippers as a free agent, but I want to play with Paul George. And so the Clippers then go to the Thunder and say, we would like to get Paul George. How do we do that? And they end up trading.
The Thunder's phone just rang. Mm-hmm. They're
that's
like,
right.
Well, hello? Yeah. And that's what could be happening right now.
And,
the phones are
and
ringing.
And to Brian's point, the Clippers alone didn't have what it took to get to Kawhi Leonard. But they had the pieces to go get what it took to then have him want to play there, right? And I think when you look at what the Nets are doing here, and potentially anyway, it's, hey, Phoenix has all their picks. They have Mikal Bridges. They have DeAndre to put in a sign and trade. They have Cam Johnson. They have all this stuff that you would want to have in a star trade. But if they don't have necessarily exactly what the Nets want, with all those picks and all that ammo, they could go get it and then get it to the Nets. So I think that is how this could maybe play out.
And just to remind everybody, the Nets don't have their picks because they sent those to Houston to get James Harden, who's now in Philly. Yay. Here's where we go. One great move after another. So how much will the team actually accommodate KD at this point?
You'd like to think, Hannah, that because he came in the fashion that he did as trying to be a partner up top on the ownership level, they're going to try to help him a little. But that is the biggest question to me.
They need assets.
Right. They need everything they can get. But they also want to be this reminder for the rest of the league. Hey, when stars want to come here, hopefully down the line, we can be a place for them. And they don't want to do Kevin too wrong, especially because Kyrie can go anywhere he wants. Kevin has always had a pretty solid relationship up top. I'd be surprised if they tried to put him somewhere he didn't want to be.
All right, Bobby Marks standing by. Bobby, you hear what's happening here at the desk. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, I think he has a no trade clause, but it's not like Brooklyn's going to send him to Sacramento, let's say, for a package of players here, because you want to get the most value out of Durant and also get him to the place that he wants to go to. Certainly if Phoenix doesn't have the right offer, then it maybe is a Toronto. I think that would be kind of the ideal spot if it's not Phoenix, because I think Durant certainly would go there, where Kyrie is a little bit of a different situation. You're just looking to get whatever you can for Kyrie Irving compared to what you're going through with
Bobby,
Durant right now.
Bobby, this is the thing about Toronto and just any of these teams with young stars. Kevin Durant is 34, even though he's top of the league. Do you trade a 34-year-old for the 20-year-old rookie of the year? And any of these other, like, you know, any of these other super young star players. I mean, that's a balance for some of these teams, too.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You get him for 4 years. You know, this is not Kawhi Leonard on a 1-year contract. You get him for four
years.
Yeah,
but do I want Scottie Barnes at 23 where I have Kevin Durant at 37? I mean, I don't think that's just a no-brainer for some of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on if you want to win a championship right now or if you want to wait 3 or 4 years.
There you go. If he's the final piece to your championship puzzle, obviously you're going to move heaven and earth to make that happen. But one of the teams that Bobby had on there was New Orleans, and I'm thinking about Zion and Sean Marks saying, well, I want players who are available, right? Didn't we just go down this road of unavailability? That seems to be a
Hannah,
far-fetched
you made a great
notion.
Point just there. 5 stars, because the Sean Marks at the end of the season had this press conference where he laid out what they wanted. As teams call, he gave them the blueprint. He says he wants team-first players, he wants selfless guys, and he wants guys who are available. So look for guys who fit that bill. And by the way, the Suns have some of those guys. They just don't have a star, necessarily, that they're willing to trade.
Well, and I think the Zion point's an interesting point, too, to go back to another seismic trade like this, is when Shaquille O'Neal was traded from the Los Angeles Lakers to Miami Heat in 2004, right? Back then, Dwayne Wade was coming off his rookie year, looked like a potential star. So when Shaq wanted to go there, the Lakers called and said, hey, we would like Dwayne Wade for Shaq. and the Heat hung up the phone. And then the Lakers call back again and say, well, what about Lamar Odom? Now, the Heat had spent years trying to get Lamar Odom, but they knew that to get Shaq, they had to give up something. And so they end up making Lamar Odom the centerpiece of a trade with him and Caron Butler and then draft compensation, right? And I think when the Nets go to these teams and say, hey, we would like Zion Williamson, to your point, the Pelicans want to win a championship. They're going to want Zion Williamson with KD.
You're not
KD.
Going to give away a piece to that.
That's
Why
right.
would you bring KD in?
So then you come down to what are the secondary pieces, where it's Mikal Bridges, where it's Brandon Ingram in New Orleans, right? That's where this kind of deal happens. Those secondary pieces and draft picks, that's the way
these
trades get built.
I think to get a star player, then it's going to take a third team. If they're willing to settle for heavy draft compensation, they could maybe do a direct deal with New Orleans or Phoenix.
And by the way, there are a lot of teams out there we have not mentioned that could loom very, very large in this discussion.
Stay tuned.
A lot more to talk about on Get Up. And this reminder, UFC 276, Saturday night from Vegas, another stacked card with Israel Adesanya and Alexander Volkanovski defending their belts. The main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. The prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Coming up, obviously it's not just KD who wants out of Brooklyn. What about Kyrie? Could he actually end up reuniting with LeBron in LA? We're talking about that next. But first, a little sneaky Hambo time. So, Tim, Wendy, y'all ready? Okay, who owns
this is big right
the
here.
Highest career scoring average?
I could do my touch
ABA.
Screen.
Yes.
Just get Brian's shoes. Just
right.
Get Brian's shoes for us. Get those
ABA,
red shoes on
NBA, and Nets history. I have some ideas,
there
too.
There we go. Zoom right in on those
shoes.
Right,
there we go.
Consult.
And look at the
we're
kicks.
We're putting Hannah in
shoes.
For a consult on this, Hembo.
Wendy's got the 4th of July kicks right there. I like it, Wendy, in the spirit.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Back on Get Up, I couldn't love this sneaky Hembo more because it's with the ABA and the NBA. Who owns the highest career scoring average in Nets history? Now, there is an obvious.
There's a couple obvious names.
Okay.
So, Kevin Durant.
No, you're only one.
Well, no, Kevin said to lay it out.
Okay, okay.
Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history, has obviously played for the Nets. He scored a ton of points for the Nets. He could be an answer. Julius Erving, greatest player in ABA history.
Right.
He could obviously be the answer. Won titles with the Nets. Our guess, though, because Hembo is very sneaky, and this guy's one of the greatest scorers of all time, played a couple years with the Nets, we're guessing Rick Barry.
Yes!
Boom!
Yes!
Boom!
Right!
Yes!
Oh, my God. Was that a collective, great mind?
I was going to go back to Jay. But we remember the name of the game is Sneaky Hembo.
Sneaky
Hembo. Oh, Hembo. Sorry, man.
Have a nice holiday, Hembo.
Boom!
Take that out.
Right? Right? We don't always, when we think of Rick Barry, think of the Nets. So, Hembo, well done. Oh,
it's a hell of a question.
Goodness. Yeah, and that merger, Dr. J, the Knicks didn't want him. They sent him down to Philly. The whole thing changed the course of East Coast basketball. All right. Meanwhile, let's look at some of the dominoes that could fall after KD's trade request. By the way, guys, KD was number 2 on that list. So what does it mean for Ben Simmons, who just posted this yesterday on his Instagram, that he's feeling incredible? Tim?
I mean, listen. Ben Simmons might be feeling incredible, but we haven't seen him on a court in 14 months. And I think at this point, the Nets are focused on other things. So
right?
Good for Ben Simmons.
And we know that there are a bunch of stars they can't trade for if Simmons is on the roster. So stay tuned there. All right, Wendy, what does it all mean for Steve Nash, brought in because KD and Kyrie wanted?
He opened up a gorgeous bottle of wine last night.
A huge bottle.
I mean, while he came to take this job trying to win a championship, he has to have been miserable coaching these coaching.
You can take out has to.
Yeah. I mean,
they brought him in.
They're not going to win the title next year, maybe, but he's going to be a happier man.
Ah, and here is the $36 million question. What does this mean for Kyrie, Nick?
Hey, I'm really going to miss Kyrie. I thought we really had a nice relationship going the last few months, but he's gone. And we were talking about what
But he's going to see him in the fall, man.
Yeah. We were talking about what Sean Marks was laying out to other teams mm-hmm. when he had that end of the season press mm-hmm. conference. He was really talking to one guy. He was talking to Kyrie, and he was saying, this is probably the end of all this unless you can make it work and show up. The Nets couldn't count on him. I would guess he ends up in L.A., and if he doesn't end up in L.A., as Brian has noted, does he actually play? Does he want to be out there and go through the motions on a team that he doesn't want to be with?
Yeah, and just to remind everybody, back on April 25th, after the Celtics eliminated the Nets from the playoffs, Kyrie had this to say.
When I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean and just our group of family members that we have in our locker room and in our organization.
It's like a bad family reunion.
Yeah.
The family's got to go every other way. Got to get away.
Right. Yeah.
The faces in that room.
Yeah.
As Kyrie,
I'm gonna ask you because you were there. Right.
We're sitting there, and he's saying this, and there are members in the organization in the back going, "Huh? What?
Right.
Is
right.
this guy talking about?"
Right.
And that, to me, was the real final straw, because when he's putting himself on that kind of pedestal, after doing to the organization what he did by making the choice that he did, everybody at that point went, I don't know if this is going to last.
I mean, you're a billionaire owner there in Joe Tsai, right? You're an incredibly successful man. And to hear that person in particular say that he's going to run the team with you and the GM, I mean, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
But I think Kyrie is going to have to wait this out, Hannah, because we're not going to really know what the Nets are going to want to trade him for until we see what Kevin Durant gets traded for. What's going to be on their books? How much salary can they take on? Do they accept a player in a sign-and-trade in that Durant deal, eventual Durant deal, that hard caps them? So Kyrie definitely wants to go to L.A. He's putting out the message, no matter what you do, I'm going to be in L.A. eventually anyway, so I'm a pure rental. He may be a part, as we said earlier, he may be a part of a Durant deal, not going with Durant, but going to a third or fourth team. Let's discuss the Lakers real quick. Obviously, the Lakers are salivating at the possibility of trading for him. Not so much because they love the idea of Kyrie Irving. They love the idea of swapping out Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving.
Ah, okay.
But Russell Westbrook makes $11 million more than Kyrie. That may be more than the Nets, who might be in the luxury tax, are willing to pay. And how much draft compensation can they squeeze out? So, Laker fans, Kyrie, you're going to have to sit there in the back seat and wait till the guy in the front seat, Kevin Durant, gets done.
Well, and that's the irony of this whole situation, right? We spent the last week talking about Kyrie Irving, right? What's Kyrie Irving going to do? How's that going to impact other people? At this point, Kyrie Irving is a passenger in this story. This is Kevin Durant driving the bus, to use a phrase that's been used recently about Kevin Durant.
Bus driver.
He is the bus driver right now. He's driving down the highway, and Kyrie is in the back waiting to find out where he's going to go. Because to Brian's point, the Nets don't really care.
I mean, I can't imagine the team wanting or needing to accommodate Kyrie in any way.
Not.
Certainly not the way we talked about with Kevin
Durant. What's
the opposite
of the word accommodate? I think just short of throwing him in that river is what they're doing.
And I think to go back to the beginning, too, those comments from Kyrie, they really sum up everything that's happened the past 3 years, right? Where, as you said, the fact that everybody's looking at him going, how could he be saying that? Well, he's saying that because that was what the last 3 years were. It was Kyrie and Kevin running the Nets. And the Nets, I think this summer, finally realized we can't have this go on anymore. And if they are going to be back, things have to start to look different.
How much of this is perceived around the NBA? You guys talk to so many people on the daily as a Nets issue or specifically a Kyrie issue.
I think there's a pie chart, and we could debate on the percentages of the pie chart, but they definitely, I mean, the first order of business, they signed DeAndre Jordan to a $40 million contract when nobody would have given him a fraction of that deal. That was their first thing that they did, was bring in their friend at a $40 million number. It's one thing to have somebody that you like on a minimum contract making $2 million for 1 year. $40 million over 4 years. That from the start, before they even dealt with the coach, before they even dictated who was in the starting lineup, they dictated how they spent $40 million on a free agent.
How much hardball do teams actually have to play with the Nets, given what they've seen from a distance?
Well, this is where the Kevin Durant extension, which, as you mentioned earlier, kicks in today, that he signed before last season, right? That's where this comes into play. Because if Kevin Durant had 1 or 2 years left on his deal, for as good as he is, it'd be a lot harder for the Nets to extract a lot of value. But because he has 4 years left on his deal, even if he gets to a place like, say, Phoenix or Miami, where he wants to go, because he's under control for that long, it gives the Nets the ability to get a lot out of him in this trade.
The difference to me, Hannah, is Kevin Durant, even as things got choppy at the end with the Thunder, with the Warriors, with the Nets, everybody in those organizations knew he was going to give everything he had every day to try and make them better. The work ethic was never questioned. The work ethic now for Kyrie in Cleveland, in Boston, and now Brooklyn is always in question because nobody knows if he's going to be there and when he is there, what kind of teammate he will be. And so that's why Durant will almost always get the benefit of the doubt, and the Nets may go out of their way to accommodate him. And that's why with Kyrie, whatever they can do to help their team right now, they will do. Yeah. They will do him no favors whatsoever.
They could actually go in the same deal to different destinations. We don't know how this whole thing is going to shake out. Maybe the only thing you can question about KD, his undying loyalty almost to a fault to Kyrie Irving. All right, much more to talk about. Here's our Sunday night baseball matchup, by the way, for your holiday weekend. Kick it off, the Cardinals visiting the Phillies at 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. Our coverage begins at 6 Eastern with baseball tonight, Sunday night countdown. Michael Kay and A-Rod will have their K-Rod presentation as always on ESPN2. Coming up, so much more on Kevin Durant's stunning trade request, why he wants out of Brooklyn, where he could end up. Woj is here with the very latest.